see.
When I look.
When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through
the promised land.
The promised land. What a day, glorious day. Coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, and no more tears to fill our eyes, and all is peace forevermore.
Everybody would stand and worship with this beautiful words. Oh, what a day that's going to be. I hate to stop that good singing, but it's going to be a great day, and I want you to be there. I want you to be there. And I had a report this week that we were too loud on streaming. And if you are suffering that, you dial the number here, and my secretary will bring me a little note. I got you turned down considerably today because I can cut me up as loud as I want to cut me up. God bless you. The program today is going to be breathtaking. Saved, but missed the rapture. Saved, but missed the rapture. This is going to be the saddest time of human history when a multitude of Bible-conscious people wake up and realize they missed the rapture. It's going to be sad. And today, I want to do something. I don't think I've ever done this, and I'm not sure. I may have mentioned some of these ideas. But I want to deal with what you miss in the promises of God if you miss the rapture. I want to deal with things that you're going to miss. Now, you don't want to miss these. I'm here to tell you, I'm sharing some things that will take your breath away. And the Bible is plain. I mean, the Bible is as clear as a bell. You don't have to worry. The Bible is right. I'm telling you, the Bible is right. There's going to be a pre-tribulation rapture. Now, there's some people that hate that truth like they hate rattlesnakes. I mean, they hate it. And they come at me like a bulldog. Well, I don't back down. because I know what the Bible says, and I just stand on the Bible. All I know to do as a man of God is to stand on the Bible. I don't move away from it one iota. I may not know, and I don't know everything. I don't mind admitting that. But there's one thing I do know, there's going to be a pre-trib rapture. And I don't have any doubt about that great truth. It used to be, I remember, when everybody that I knew anything about believed it. It didn't matter what church they went to. In fact, there was an article on Charlotte Observer, may have been 8 years ago now, somewhere between 5 and 8, in which they did a survey, or were part of a survey, and 80% of Americans believed in the rapture. 80% of Americans. See, that comes out of our pre-Bible mindset. Our pre-Bible mindset. It used to be Americans had a Bible mindset. Today we have mindsets of a dozen stripes. And so the Bible isn't as high in priority in the minds of men and women. But I'm a Bible man. And there's going to be a pre-trib rapture. And I'm as clear about it. But what is very questionable to men, but not to the Bible, is what do you miss when you miss the pre-trib rapture? Well, we know what you're going to go through. You're going to go through at least half of the tribulation period until you're killed, at least. May not be half for many people, because they're going to murder you and slaughter you like dogs killing rats. That's how it's going to be, like dogs killing rats. They're going to come at you and destroy you viciously. And you will be slaughtered with no compassion, none at all. It's going to be horrible. It's really going to be horrible. But I want to start, and we'll go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25 is one of those great chapters of the Bible, and it really is powerful, and it's all about the wedding feast and the marriage supper. All about the wedding feast and the marriage supper. And that, of course, includes the idea of the bride of Christ. Everybody at the marriage supper will be part of the bride of Christ. Everybody. Everybody at the marriage supper will be part of the bride of Christ. Now, let me read a little bit to you. Let's go to Matthew 25, and let's just see what the Bible says. Then shall the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's God's business. That's the operation of the Heavenly Father. That's the business of God with his people and his disciples, his children. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins now, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Went forth to meet the bridegroom. Got to be the bride if you're going forth to meet the bridegroom, right? Got to be the bride. You couldn't be anything but the bride if you're going forth to meet the bridegroom. And you'll see the separation here. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. So here are 5 foolish virgins who've lost their fire, who've lost their excitement, who've lost their anointing, who've lost that unction, who've lost what the oil represents, which is the working of the Holy Spirit in a human life. And so 5 of them, the oil had dissipated. The oil had dwindled out. They had had oil because they had the vessels. They had had oil, but the oil was gone. They backslid. They drifted away from the fire of God. They're members of some cold, dead church somewhere that no longer has the moving of the Spirit. But the wise took oil in their lamps in their vessels with their lamps. But the wise took oil in the vessels with the lamps. Notice that now. While the bridegroom tarried. This is Christ up in heaven, and he hasn't come yet, so he's still tarrying, okay? Christ is still tarrying, still waiting for the Father to give him the command, go get the bride. That'll be the word, go get the bride. When he comes after the rapture, he comes after the bride. If you're not part of the bride, you don't go in the rapture. Do you understand? Do you understand? So he comes after the bride, and the wise are there, and they took their vessels, and they took oil with them. They had a supply. They were prepared. They were ready. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. So the bridegroom comes, and there's a cry, Great trumpet sound, great cry. John heard it in Revelation 4, and it was as the sound of a trumpet. So there's a cry made, go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins, the whole ten, five foolish and five wise, arose and trimmed their lamps. I mean, they got up and got ready to go. They got things in shape. Let's go. But five of them could not leave the ground. They could not go. They had missed. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. I mean, they're begging those in the family to give them some of their supply so they can go with the wise virgins. And of course, you know, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that buy and sell and get oil for yourselves. So they had to go and replenish their supply. They had to go and get some oil in their vessels to feed into their lamps. The wise answered, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that buy and sell. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. Notice that word marriage, went in with him to the wedding celebration. They went in with him to the wedding celebration. They were bride ready to meet the bridegroom. They had not lost their supply of oil. Their lamps had not gone out. They were not just pew warmers. They were on fire. They were burning with the zeal of Christ, and they were ready to meet him in the air. And while the others went to get oil, the five that were ready arose. And the Bible said, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, you got to see that. And the door was shut. The bridegroom got the bride and went into the bridal chamber and shut the door. I mean, nobody else was going to get in. Nobody else. You missed the rapture. You're not going to go in that marriage supper. You can get saved after you miss the rapture. You die as a disciple of Christ. You can give your life to be slaughtered. You can spend up to 3.5 years, and some will spend 7 years here on the earth while the Antichrist is reigning, and it's going to be hell on earth. It's going to be horrible, and you're going to be here. And if you get saved, they're going to slaughter you, but you still can't go into the bridal chamber. You still can't go into the wedding feast. So nobody who misses the pre-trib rapture will go in to the wedding. And nobody who misses the pre-trib rapture will ever be part of the bride. Now, that's just settled in concrete. That is so clear. You go get your Bible and you go read it and you take it verse by verse. And if you want to, and I would suggest this, get on your knees and ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand what Reverend Chambers is saying. And ask him to make it clear. Don't let you be deceived by anybody. I don't care who it is. Don't let yourself be deceived. Believe what the Bible said. Believe what the Bible said. Now, Jesus told this story. This was not told by Peter or James or John. This was told by the Lord himself. The Lord said, this is the kingdom of God. And this is how it's going to happen. And this is how the wedding feast is going to be. And this is who's going in to the wedding feast. And these are going to be my bride. These are going to be my eternal bride. Now, that is beautiful truth. Do you get it? Anybody have a question? I'm opening the lines early now today, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I want desperately to reach a multitude of people and get you ready for the rapture. I don't want nobody to miss that rapture. I am not out to try to get somebody and point my finger at somebody and say, you're going to miss the rapture. I'm not out to do that. I'm out to warn you that if you don't go in that pre-trib rapture before the seven-year tribulation period starts, you're not ever going to be part of the bride, and you're not ever going to go into the marriage supper. You are excluded from both by the very fact that you're not ready for the rapture. Now, I hope I hope I get a lot of people thinking. All I want to do is get you on your knees and get you thinking and get you ready, because the Lord is coming. It's imminent. It's imminent. He could very likely come before I finish this hour broadcast. It's now about 12 and a half minutes after 1, 13 maybe, just a little after 1. Easily, he could come before 2 o'clock. And I'm telling you, I promise you, I cancel the program the moment the trumpet sounds. This program is over and finished the moment the trumpet sound. And you can believe me, I'm headed out of here, and you are on the air. May I help you, please? You are on the air. May I help you, please? Well, did I not hit the button? Here we go. You are on the air. May I help you, please? Well, what are we doing here? My phone is, well, they left me. All right, call again. I came to the phone, and it's all on, and it's ready to go. I got all the right buttons ready, and so I'm ready for you. Call back. I want to help you. I want to answer your question. I want to answer questions, and I know there'll be some people who are going to disagree, and I don't mind that. I'll be kind to you, because I would like to convince you. I would like to change your thinking. I would like to get you on the same page I'm on, because I'm on the right page. I believe that with all my heart. See, and I've lived in this now 67 years. I got saved in 1952, the month of March. So it's been 67 years this month. This is what I heard. I heard it immediately. I remember immediately the great hope of the coming of Christ. The blessed hope, they called it. The blessed hope. And what a day that's going to be. Here we are. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Or the first three letters of...
May I help you, please?
Press the Easy Dex key to play...
Well, somebody is playing games with me. You on the air. May I help you, please? Are you there? Sir, whoever this is, you can't hang up. You had already hung up when I came, and it was a voicemail. So please call if I can help you. I'd love it. And don't just try to disturb, okay? Sometimes when you're on this subject, you get a lot of disturbance or trying to disturb. I'm here to tell you, don't you play games, because God's keeping a record, okay? God's keeping a record. Now, you saw what I read. Let me go a little further, because we see the whole story. The Bible says, afterwards came also the others, virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Now, they came to the wedding supper. They came to the door, to the entrance, and they knocked on the entrance, knocking, 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 saying, Lord, open to us. Open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour. You know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, I want to get that in everybody's head. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the Son of Man cometh. Now, that's absolute proof coming from the lips of the Lord Jesus himself that it will happen, and you will not know when it's going to happen. You won't be pre-warned. There will be no time to get ready, and you can't run in and say, well, I just repented, Lord, let me in. You cannot be saved after the trumpet and go in the rapture. Now, don't misunderstand that. Please, very important, don't misunderstand it. Now, let's hope we get them this time. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Pastor Chambers?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I hear you beautiful.
Okay. I have been told that there's going to be more than one rapture. Is that correct?
Well, let me explain it this way. There will only be one pre-trib rapture. There will only be one rapture that comes for the bride. There will only be one rapture when he comes to get his chosen that will go in with him to the wedding. But if you'll go on to chapter 7, you'll find people coming up out of the tribulation who have repented in the early stages of the 7 years. And there will be a moment in the middle of the tribulation that these people will be caught up to heaven. Now, you can call that a rapture. Some people won't call it a rapture. They just say they were caught up to heaven. You can then go a little further, and you can find 144,000 Jews that are caught up to heaven. Then you can find two witnesses that were slain on the streets of Jerusalem, and they are resurrected right in front of the multitudes of the world, and they are caught up to heaven. You can then find some later Jewish people in another chapter, 15, that are caught up to heaven. And then you can go on to Revelation 19, and you find the very last group of people who repent and get saved during this dark, hellish time, and they are raptured. And that will finish the rapture. So each of them are somewhat distinct and different. You don't want to say seven raptures because that sounds like the pre-trib is just one of six more that's going to give you six more chances. That's not what it is. Not at all. It's just the different groups that God is catching up to heaven. And remember, Jesus was the first fruits. So he was number one of the seven. Now, do you understand that?
I do. I understand that.
Very clear.
Chambers, these other raptures, were these people that, did they have to seal their testimony with their own blood?
Well, that depends on which group we're talking about. The tribulation group in Revelation 7, beginning with verse 9, they are people that apparently all died in faith. Revelation 6 is another group we're going to talk about, actually the same group, but an earlier stage of them, and they've died. They've been butchered. They've been butchered so bad, they even asking God to avenge their blood. And then the 144 Jews, the Bible don't say what they're going to go through, but I can guarantee you it's going to be hell. I can guarantee that. Then you got the latter group. It's all a hellish time. And anybody that gets saved out of that will be by the mercy and grace of God.
Is that why the Bible says that we should pray that we will be counted worthy to go?
Yes, that's talking about the pre-trib rapture. That's talking about the rapture I'm telling you about today, in which this group, Matthew 25, this is when Jesus comes in the clouds. They go up to meet him. He's coming for the wedding supper. That takes place 7 years in heaven at the same 7 years that tribulation is taking place on the earth. The saints in heaven are having a wedding feast while the world is having a hellish time with the Antichrist. And all of that takes place during the same 7 years.
I understand. All right.
Thank you for calling, dear lady. I hope there'll be many others I can help today, because there is so much discord and disunderstanding and angry people who hate the rapture. I've never seen nothing hated quite like the rapture's being hated. That's because the Antichrist has taken over the church world. And anywhere the Antichrist is ruling, they're going to hate the rapture.
Yes.
Okay. God bless you, dear lady.
Thank you.
God bless you. Well, what a delight. Now, that was a good question. That was the kind of question you can help people get into the book of Revelation and begin to really understand it. It's a very clear book. And if you will understand it, my book on the masterpiece, which is all verse by verse of the whole book of Revelation, is one of the best. One of the best. And if you don't have it, you ought to order it. It's a hardback book, and you can order it today. You can order it today, and you ought to have that book, because I clarify all of these things, and I make them so that you can understand them, but I'm here to do the same today. Now, other questions, I want to hear them. You grab the phone, 704-391-0588. Now, I want to move along. Now, you notice first that if you don't make the rapture, you will never be part of the bride, and you will never, never be at the wedding feast. Those two events are closed to anybody that doesn't go up in the rapture that takes place in Revelation chapter 4. We call it the pre-trib rapture, pre-tribulation. That's what we're saying. Before the seven-year tribulation period begins, the rapture of the bride, the rapture of the bride. Now, make sure you understand that. This is the rapture of the bride. There's no other time when anybody called the bride are raptured, okay? No other time. Not anywhere in your Bible. You can't find it. It's not there, because God makes what he says very clear. Now, I want to do some things here. I want to go with you to Revelation 4 and show you the warnings that God made. God, I mean, he doesn't want you to miss this rapture. It would be the pleasing joy of the Heavenly Father if everybody listening to me was part of the rapture. It would be. He don't want you to miss this. He warns you over and over. Read Luke 21 and Matthew 24 and 25 and read the book of Revelation chapter 4 and read so many passages throughout the Bible that warn us of this glorious moment of the blessed hope. The blessed hope. It is indeed the blessed hope. It is the very highlight of the saints of God and the church of Jesus Christ is this rapture. This glorious rapture. Now, let's go to Revelation 3. Revelation 3 and 11. Revelation 3 and 11. You got to hear this now. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Him that overcometh. I will make him a pillar. See, all the overcomers will go up in the rapture. That's what the rapture crowd is, a bunch of overcomers. They got saved and they overcame themselves. They overcame the devil. They overcame the world. Whatever came against them, they just stood like a rock of Gibraltar and they wouldn't move. They just stayed steady. They stayed clear. They stayed committed. So listen to this. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city, that's New Jerusalem, of my God, which is New Jerusalem. See now, it's the bride that's going to get New Jerusalem. The rest of the world will never live in New Jerusalem. Nobody who's not a part of the pre-trib rapture will ever live in New Jerusalem. Now, you can visit it. The Bible makes it plain that the doors will be closed neither day or night. And the visitors of the whole world. There will be a new heaven and a new earth full of the grandest cities you can imagine. And all the saved will inhabit those many different cities all over God's great globe, all over God's great world. And they can come to Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, and visit the city of New Jerusalem. And then come in those guys. I want to be on the fourth, on the 12th level. That's the level of... what is that level? I wanted to say it and didn't come out. Amethyst, the amethyst level. And I want to welcome friends all over the earth. If you don't make it in the rapture and you get to heaven because you get right with God or you go to heaven because you're already right with God but no fire in your vessel and you're going to have to go through the tribulation, see? If you don't have fire in your vessel, you're going to go through the tribulation. If you're just a church pew warmer, you're not going to go in that rapture. You got to get that in your head. The rapture saints are the eagle saints. The rapture saints are those on fire. Get rid of this coldness and get out of your lukewarm condition and quit loving and filling the world with your pleasures and start filling heaven with your pleasures, okay? I'm after your heart. I'm after your soul. I'm after you being ready to go. I hope you understand that. I'm your friend. I'm nothing but your friend. But you got to hear this now. Read it again. Him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. Listen to that. Which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does anybody hear what Brother Chambers is reading? You can be part of that great company. You can be ready to go, friend. You can be ready to go. I promise you, but it's up to you, and you're on the air. May I help you?
Could you be more specific about what fire is? What is this fire?
What is the fire? Well, it's the energy, the sold-out condition, the dedicated, the man or woman who has give up the world, and taken Christ as the Lord of their life, the people who are living the Christian faith with all their heart. They are people who are sold out. Remember the statement, if he's not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. Remember that? So Jesus, the Lord of your life, if the fire of the sweet spirit is burning in your heart, it begins when you're saved. Because the Holy Spirit is the power and the fire that regenerates. But then it grows in sanctification and the baptism. And as long as that fire is moving and working and you're on the altar and you're seeking God and you're moving forward, you're ready to go. But the moment you start backing up and sitting down and giving up and you quit praying and you quit walking with God and you become one of those foolish virgins that has no oil, you're not ready to go. Is that simple?
So this fire
is dedication. It's being full of God. The Holy Spirit is likened in the Bible to fire. So it's having the Holy Spirit working in you, having the Holy Spirit doing the will of God in you from the moment you're saved all the way to the moment you're baptized. All of that's a process of the Holy Spirit working in you. And as long as you keep that moving and keep going, growing in the Spirit, growing in the Lord, walking in the light of the Scripture, you are ready to go.
All right. Okay.
But if you sit down, if you say, well, I've been trying, but I'm not getting anywhere. No, you're not trying if you're not getting anywhere. Let me tell you what I believe. I believe if you get sanctified, that means your whole life has been turned over to Christ, and the blood has washed you from self and all your selfish attributes and your selfish passions. If you're not sanctified and you're still living, you can't give up your cigarettes, and you can't give up your fornication, and you can't give up all the, you're not right with God. But when you get right with God and the Holy Spirit moves in, He begins to free you of everything that hinders you, and you begin to walk with God. And that's the fire that I'm talking about.
So He wants you.
Am I helping you?
First in your heart.
Ma'am?
First in your heart.
Well, you are totally surrendered in both your heart and your action. A lot of people say, well, as long as my heart's okay, it don't matter what I do. That's a bunch of, that's hooey. That's absolutely terrible. God looks at your life, not at your heart, at your whole life.
Oh, okay.
So it's very important. People everywhere say, just as long as my heart's okay, it don't matter what I do. That is a lie from the devil. When your heart's right, you live right. You're totally sold out to Christ. You wouldn't miss church for nothing but an absolute emergency. You pay your tithes. You live obedient to God. You don't get up on Sunday morning and ask, am I going to church? You know that you belong to Christ, and you're going to keep His day holy. That's the kind of dedication I'm talking about.
So this fire is obedience.
Total obedience to God.
Total obedience.
And it's the work of God in you that makes you obedient. See, we're not talking about just living it without anything inside. We're talking about being changed on the inside, and it transfers to the outside.
Okay. All right.
So we're changed head all to our feet. Anybody who says, well, I got my head right, but my body is pretty dirty, that's just a lie that Satan has told them.
Right.
Gotcha?
Okay, thank you.
Oh, I love you. Thank you for calling. I believe I have line two. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Oh, sir, my name is James. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Sir, I would just like to say that your talk last week about the church, people taking heed, is certainly one of the most timely talks you've ever given. I sent your web link to several friends and pastors. I've listened to that. I think.
Can you get a little closer and speak a little plainer? Your voice is shivering to me, and so I'm not hearing all your words. Say it a little plainer. I want to answer you. I love you.
Okay. Can you hear it better?
Much better.
I was just saying that your talk last week about the church and the people taking heed was certainly one of the most important things I've heard. I sent your web link to several people so that they can listen to it, and I listen to it about every day this week.
People are like easy in Zion, we used to call it. Zion be of the church, and they just come to church and make it to one service, and they come late for that one. You know, and I've got so many like that, it breaks my heart, and I'm digging, I'm preaching, I'm weeping. We now have prayer every morning about 6. Sometimes I'm earlier. This morning I was just a little bit later. But we pray 2-3 hours a day. We want a sovereign awakening. That's what the church needs.
Sir, I did have a question. I have friends and people that I talk to, and they say that they believe in Jesus, but they don't accept the Bible. They don't follow the Bible. They don't. They say they don't have to do that.
Well, you know, they're not even saved. You can't say, I believe in Jesus, but I don't follow the Bible. A saved person lives by the Bible. The Bible says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. One place he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is impossible to be a Christian without the Bible. You can't just believe on Jesus and be saved. You got to believe on the Bible, the Jesus spoken of in the Bible. If a person calls on Jesus but they don't believe his Bible, he's not even going to hear them. Okay?
I'll be sure and tell them that. I just want to say God bless you and your ministry.
Thank you, sir. I love the church with all my heart. I love the world. I want to see people saved. I was praying one morning this week, and I said, Lord, let me weep for the things that you weep for. Let me somehow feel your passion. Let me feel your burden. Let me feel this great crowd out there that's unprepared, and he's helping me. I'm not. The load gets heavy when you're carrying this kind of a load, and it's wonderful. And we've got to see a harvest. We've got. We start revival. Let me make this, and you stay right there. We start revival in the morning. Brother Davy Boggs and his wife and daughter. Davy Boggs and his wife and daughter will be here in just a little while. They're on their way right now in their motor home, and they'll be preaching starting in the morning, singing and preaching. Tomorrow morning, tomorrow night, and all week, we'll have church in the morning at 11, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we have church at 10 o'clock in the morning. This is with the school and everybody that comes. We're hoping our school parents, as many as don't work the morning, will come. And you can come in the morning. So 10 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock at night, Monday through Friday. Monday through Friday. Come in now. Come in this week, right before us. And we pray it goes so good that we go on another week, maybe another week. I'd like to have about a 10-week revival and see about 2,000 get saved in Charlotte.
Sir, thank you so much for talking to me.
I've enjoyed it, brother. God bless you. Now give us a call, 1-800-338-7884. This is good. This is absolutely good. Now, I want to read that verse again. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar. Got to overcome the world and the flesh and the devil, okay? The world and the flesh and the devil. Got to overcome. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. That's the New Jerusalem, see? New Jerusalem is the new temple. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. See, only the people raptured are going to be living in the city. I hadn't said that one. That's another thing you got to remember. Only the people who are part of the bride and who at the wedding feast will then live in the city of New Jerusalem. Nobody else. Nobody else lives in the city. They can visit the city, but they can't live in the city. I mean, that's just biblical. It's just as clear as a bell in the Bible. And people don't want to believe the Bible plain. They want to penknife it, and they want to, you know, adjust it, make it a little more feasible, make it sound a little calmer, a little better, you know. People say to me, why don't you just bless people instead of trying to tell them off? I'm not trying to tell nobody off. I'm just trying to tell you I don't want you to miss the rapture. I mean, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't care that you missed the rapture. If I didn't care about you, I'd say, play your games, man. Go to hell if that's what you want to do. But that's not how I feel, because I'm burdened. I'm carrying the load. I'm crying out. So if you want to be part of that new Jerusalem, that's another important thing. Now, the bride alone will live in New Jerusalem. I got so many scriptures to read. It's really overwhelming. I want to take you to Revelation now, 21. Now, would you listen? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the city, holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So, the city of New Jerusalem is not prepared for the saved of the earth. It's prepared for the bride, for those who are at the wedding feast, for those who are part of the family of the bride of Christ, the great bride of Christ. And he says it was prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, the tabernacle of God is with men. and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And he goes on and shows, that's chapter 21, get it and read it, that New Jerusalem is for the bride. It is adorned as a bride, for the bride, and for the bridegroom. That's the only one going to live in New Jerusalem, friends. You better get it in your head. If you miss the rapture, you are missing so much that is overwhelming, exciting. Somebody says you ought to give them something that'll make them happy. If me telling you about the rapture don't make you happy, you ain't happyable. I'm telling you now, I get so happy when I think about the rapture and going up in the rapture and what a day that's going to be and that I'm going to be part of that great company. Now, get your phone. I want some more calls. These are good. 704-391-0588. Now, all of you down in Eastern North Carolina, WSTS, I want you to make sure you understand. I'm depending on you. I took that station back on. I've been paying it off and getting it in good shape. Now I need your help. I need every one of you under the burden. They tell me I have the greatest audience down there. The station wanted me back on. I know that. Because our program is so loved. And you know, I'm one of the few old-timers that really says it straight, man. I just give you what the old book says. I give you what the old book says. Now, let me tell you something else. Now, listen to me. I'm going to try to get all this in, and then we may deal with it more next week. I'll see what the Lord says. But you will not be part of the bride if you're not in the pre-trib rapture. You will not. You got to hear me now. You will not be at the wedding feast if you're not in the pre-trib rapture. Two things there now. If you want to be at that wedding, that marital supper, that's one of the grandest events the Bible ever talked about. It's all through the Bible, the marriage supper, the great celebration of Christ and God the Father with all the bride of Christ. But you'll miss it if you don't go in that pre-trib rapture. And you won't go in that pre-trib rapture if you don't have oil in your vessel. If you're not obediently overcoming the world and living for Christ, don't expect to go otherwise, because you aren't going to go. You aren't going to go, and I'm telling you that. Now, the next thing is, and this is important, the people who live in New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem, that grand city, 1,500 miles high and 1,500 miles wide this way and 1,500 miles wide that way and 12 different stories. All of them named with a different name. The 12th story is named the Amethyst story. That's 1,500 miles times 1,500 miles on the 12th level of that marvelous city. And there's 12 of those levels now. Each level is 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. You just imagine how many saints of God can live in that city and have at least an acre for their great mansion and their wonderful place to spend eternity. And Jesus will be the center of that city. God the Father will be there. God the Holy Ghost will be there. God the Son will be there. The angels will be there. And you will live in a city that has no need of the sun, because the Lord will be the light of that city. There won't even be any shadows. Behind the buildings will be just as light as in front of the buildings. It's going to be a city of light. A city of light. Golden streets. Oh, what a place. You talk about mansions. You talk about beauty. You talk about the excellent of the excellent. This is going to be it. But nobody will be in that city and live in that city but those who are part of the pre-tribulation rapture. You teach against the pre-tribulation rapture, you just cut off your chances to be or ever live in the city of New Jerusalem. You preach against the pre-tribulation rapture, and you'll never be part of the bride of Christ. You preach against the tribulation rapture, you'll never be part of that wedding supper. Just plain simple, you're cutting yourself off from some of the greatest promises in the Bible. Is that not overwhelming? Let me say, Brother Chambers, how do you know that you got to be part of that raptured crowd to be in the wedding supper? Well, that's what he said, Matthew chapter 25. Well, how about the fact of a crown? Did you know no Christian has a crown anywhere in the book of Revelation except chapter 4? Now, think about this. Think about it. You got to hear me. I'm just giving you the Bible. I'm not here to prove nothing to you. I'm here just to give you the Bible. That's all I do on these programs is give you the Bible. But if you'll go with me to Revelation 4 and 4, and then we'll read verse 10. Revelation chapter 4, and we'll read verse 4. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Get ready now. Verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon them I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Crowns of gold. These are saints. These are elders. This is the church triumphant. 24 is just a triumphant number, meaning the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. 12 representing the old, the patriarchs, and 12 representing the apostles, the New Testament church, and all both of them represent a multitude, a great number. And every one of them has crowns of gold on their head, every last one of them. So everybody that makes it in the pre-trib rapture will get a crown on their head. And listen to this, same chapter, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure all things were created. Now, I'm looking for myself here. Verse 10, I read the wrong verse. And 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And notice, and cast their crowns before the throne. Now, that's chapter 4, verse 4 and verse 10. Now, you got that written in your head. 4 and 10, elders at the rapture receive crowns on their head. Nowhere else in the book of Revelation does any group of people that are raptured, that are caught up, that are in any way become converted, are said to have crowns. The only ones that have crowns are the pre-tribulation rapture in Revelation chapter 4. I hope every preacher out there gets that and preaches that tomorrow. I mean, go to chapter 7 where the tribulation saints come up and not a one of them has on a crown. Go to Revelation 11, where you have the 144,000 Jews. Not a one of them have a crown. Go to Revelation 15, where you have a bunch of more Jews. Not one of them have a crown. Go to the two prophets. They don't get crowns. Go to chapter 19. They don't get crowns. But those who are raptured in chapter 4 all get crowns. Now, are you hearing me? I'm out for you. I'm out to somehow shake you till your eye teeth rattle, if that's an old-fashioned saying. I want to get you on fire. And I want to tell you something. If you ever get on fire for God, there's no life on earth like the fire of God burning in your soul. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit giving you joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm talking about praying until heaven comes down and you find yourself singing the praises of God and shouting hallelujah. I'm not going to church and the Holy Spirit is moving mightily in the house of God. I mean, glorious things that you're going to miss if you don't get yourself ready for the rapture. You say, Brother Chambers, what if the rapture don't take place? Let me ask you something. If I could be wrong, I'm not wrong, but I'm willing to say if I could be wrong, and there's not a pre-trib rapture, what have you missed if you live a godly, holy, Holy Ghost-filled life? And you're on fire for God, and you're loving Jesus with all your heart, you're going to live longer. A clean living person is going to live much longer than dirty living people. When you smoke and drink and cuss and swear, you're cutting days off your life. The Bible said the wicked shall live out, shall be forfeited half of their life. A wicked person is not, on the average, going to live more than half of their life. I'm telling you exactly what's in the book. Now, this has been exciting to me. And I got about 15, 14 more minutes. I want to talk about the revival now. This starts here at Fall Creek tomorrow, in the morning. Tomorrow morning. I'm talking about tomorrow morning. I'm talking about in the morning at 11 o'clock. We'll start the morning worship. Brother Davy Boggs will be right there with me. He's on the road. He'll be here about 3 or 4. He'll be preaching. They'll be singing. Then again tomorrow night, at 6 o'clock, our Sunday evening service at 6. Sunday evening service at 6, okay? Morning Sunday school at 10. Morning worship at 11. Have you got that? Morning Sunday school at 10. Morning worship at 11. And then we have prayer meeting from 5 to 6. From 5 to 6, just on our knees in there in the sanctuary. praying, seeking God. And then 6 o'clock, we have another service. Brother David will be preaching. And then Monday morning, it'll be 10 with the school and anybody that comes. I'm sorry. And then tomorrow night will be 7. And that will go on all week. And we want you to be part of it. We really want you to be part of it. Now, I want to tell you that Brother Clarence Sanderson, I hope I said that right. I hope I've got that right. Somebody call me if I don't. He will be preaching our camp meeting the last week of June. So you need to go ahead and make your plans. Because I talked to Bruce Gans this morning. He's preparing to teach in the morning, 11 o'clock every day, all camp meeting the last week of June, on warfare praying, trying to get people praying like they ought to pray and seeking God with an abandonment and a devotion. I'm telling you, folks, if ever prayer has been imperative, it is imperative now. So will you get prepared right now to be in camp meeting, in revival with us tomorrow? See, if you're not ready for the rapture, a great place to get ready will be in these altars this week. We hope that everybody that comes around here that's not prepared for the rapture will get ready to go up with Jesus when he comes. When that rapture sounds, it's going to be grand, folks. It's going to be the greatest expression of God's power in all history will be the morning, the day, the evening, the night, whenever that rapture takes place. It'll be night some places, the morning some places, 24 hours around this earth. But it'll all be the same time. That rapture will occur. The saints of God will be gone. I can hardly wait. I've been saved 67 years. I'm 83 years old. But I am ready to go in that rapture. I can hardly wait. I'm excited. Now, what I'd like to do, I've got 12 minutes here, is I'd like to answer questions. Would you grab the phones everywhere, everybody? Radio, if you're in Gastonia, if you're in Concord, if you're in Rock Hill, if you're in Charlotte, if you're down east at Wilmington, Myrtle Beach, Fayetteville, all around those places, Rockingham, comes all the way up to Rockingham, I know. We want you to call right now, 1-800. Well, let's just come to the regular number, 704-391-0588. If you're a different area code, you'll need to dial 1. If you're in the 704 area code, you don't need to dial 1. 704-391-0588. 0588. If you have a landline, you want to call the 800 number, you're welcome. 1-800-338-7884. Now, questions. I want to answer questions. Let me see if I can think of some questions while you are calling. I know somebody's thinking, Reverend Chambers, how dare you say somebody who's a good person, who lives a decent life, and they don't steal from nobody, and they're a good, faithful church person, but they have no enthusiasm. They just come to church and listen and go home. They don't know what praying is. They just kind of cooled off, and they just made it all just a simple thing. Well, they're just not going. And I'm begging you to tell them they've got to get themselves on fire. The Lord says he fills us with the Holy Ghost and with fire, okay? The Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, you on the air. May I help you, please? You're there.
Reverend Chambers?
Yes.
If you have a sin in your life you're trying to overcome, and you haven't overcome it, but you're trying and you want to, and the rapture takes place, will you be left here?
You will not go if you have a sin in your life of which you cannot overcome. You must overcome sin. Now, my sister, there is no such thing as a sin you can't overcome. The blood of Jesus is sufficient. The sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit is sufficient. God, if you get on your face and you repent and you believe him and you forsake that sin, he will set you free.
Okay.
Okay, are you ready?
Okay.
You want to do it right now?
Yes.
All right. Father, pray after me. Father.
Father.
I confess this sin. And I'm ashamed of it.
I'm ashamed.
I'm sorry for it.
I'm sorry.
And I'm turning right now.
Right now.
I will not touch it again.
Not again.
I will not touch it again.
Not again, Father.
I'm free in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'm free in Jesus' name.
I pray in Jesus' name.
Now you claim that, and when you face that old enemy, you just start saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. When the devil comes after me, I start saying, Jesus is the Lord of Genesis, and Jesus is the Lord of Exodus, and Jesus is the Lord of Leviticus. And I just go naming through the Bible. And then he's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. He's the lily of the valley and the bright morning star. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the counselor. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And just start quoting his name, and the devil is going to run like a scared rabbit.
Okay. All right.
Now you do that, okay?
I will.
You say his name over and over until that thing breaks. And it will break. I'm telling you, it will break. God bless you. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Pastor Chambers. I'm just calling for my daughter. She's in the hospital.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I wondered if you could lift her up in prayer.
What's her first name?
Aaron.
Father, I bring Aaron to you in Jesus' name. Here is a mother who needs a miracle for her daughter. Okay. Father, I believe you for it. By the power of the Holy Spirit right now, let there be healing in Aaron's body and in that room where she's at. And may the presence of Jesus sweep over that room. Sweep over that room. Even the nurses, may they know God is doing something in this life. I claim it in Jesus' name. Amen. Could I tell you an example of a story? Have you got a minute?
Yes.
I was at the hospital some years ago. It happened to be in Mercy, the Catholic hospital at that time. And I was down in part of the ER, emergency room, praying over somebody across the room. And up the hallway was a little two-year-old girl that was in a dying death condition. She had a terrible problem, two or three levels, and her temperature was 105. And when I was praying, she heard me. And her mother heard her say quietly, I wish that man would pray for me. Well, I didn't hear anything. The mother heard it. When I left that patient I was praying with and started out of the hospital, going down the hall, which happened to be right where that child was by God's grace, I said out loud, somebody, some little child in this end of the hospital wants me to pray for them. And the mother heard it and came running out of the room and said, Reverend Chambers, that was my daughter. That was my daughter. I went in the room. I laid my hands on her. I prayed for her. She was perfectly healed.
Amen.
Did you know that God does that?
Yes.
Woo! Great day. He's a prayer answering God.
Yes, sir.
I thank you for calling. I claim her healing right now. Raise your hands as you hang up the phone and praise him with all your heart, okay?
Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you. God bless you. Now, I've got five more minutes. I'd like to have two or three more calls. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to encourage you. I'd love to help you get sanctified. I pray that lady got sanctified. See, no such thing as saying I can't overcome sin. You can't overcome sin because you don't forsake it. I know why you don't overcome it. You got to forsake it. You got to repent of it. You got to forsake it. And then you got to cling only to Jesus. You don't overcome by your power. You overcome by his power. Every sin we overcome by his power, by his right arm, by his grace and goodness. Now, I got lines open. I will send you this wonderful booklet now on this subject, Save But Miss the Rapture. I will send it to you. I'm going to add these things that I wrote down that the Holy Spirit gave me, and we're going to make this a wonderful, wonderful article, and I'd like to send it to 1,000 people out there. And I didn't say this earlier, but I meant to tell you that I would give anybody that calls today a free CD that I preached last Sunday on One Raptured But One Left. This is a free CD from last Sunday on One Raptured and One Left. You can get that on internet if you have internet. It's still on Facebook, if you have Facebook, but I'll send it to you on CD if you need a copy, okay? I want you to be ready when Jesus comes. I'm sitting here today almost bouncing in my seat. I've been sick 3 months, and I've just come to the point that I'm within about a smidgen. You know what a smidgen is? That's a whole little bit. I'm in about a smidgen of being completely well. Man, how God has took care of me. You know what the Lord showed me when I first got sick? He showed me the story in the Bible of a man. He was a king of Israel. and he got sick in his feet, the Bible said. He got sick, a disease in his feet, and he sought to the physicians and not to God, and he died. That's what the Bible says. He sought to the physicians and not to God, and he died. And the Lord showed me that I was to trust him with this sickness I've had. I don't know what all's been wrong, but my whole cavity, from my shoulders down to my very bottom, my whole stomach, my whole chest, it was just like it was in trauma. It was like there was 2,700 things wrong. If I won't hurt in here, I'd be hurting over there. And I went through it 3 months. I really was sick, and I really believe I would have died had I not depended wholly on God. But I know that he's my physician. By his stripes we are healed. Did you know that? One more call. Come on quickly. How can I help you know that you're ready for the rapture? I want you to be ready. I don't know an enemy I got, and I've got a few, that I don't want to be ready for the rapture. I want them to get right, repent, get their lives straight, straighten up their walk. Quit hating some preacher. Why are you hating me? I've done you no harm. I get amazed that people hate you when you haven't done nothing to them. You just didn't please them. They didn't like something about you. Sometimes here at this church, I get the sound a little too loud. That makes people ferocious. I get amazed. I love them, though. I'm doing my best to temper me down a little bit. Sometimes I need to just change me a little bit, and I'm doing that. I'm working on me. I'm actually working on me. Can you believe that? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I love my people, every one of them. Every one of them, whether they disagree or agree, it doesn't matter. I still love them. And you notice when I'm on radio, I just talk freely. I mean, there's nothing to hide. My gracious, it's all God's business. It's God's kingdom. We're doing the things of the Lord. We're not doing the things of men. And you can be saved, but if you miss the rapture, it's sad. I cannot imagine anything more horrible than somebody missing the rapture. Now, I've got to go. I'm reminding you of church in the morning, revival. David Boggs preaching, 10 o'clock Sunday school, 11 o'clock preaching, 6 o'clock tomorrow evening, then all week 10 and 6. Our school is growing, and we want your children here. I'm telling you, your kids need to be in a safe place, a safe place. Most places that they are not safe, they are dangerous. It disturbs me greatly when I look around me and see where our world is. It's a dark thing. I'm telling you, it's a dark thing. Well, I really want you to be blessed today beyond any measure I can say to you. I want you to get your heart in a condition that Jesus is yours and you're ready for the rapture. Ready for the rapture. It will thrill me to know you go in that rapture. Are you listening to me? It will thrill me to know you're ready to go in that rapture. I don't want you to miss that rapture. Are you listening? I don't want you to miss that rapture. I want you to go in it. I really do. I want you to go in the rapture. The coming of the Lord is at the door. The coming of the Lord is at the door. It really is. And I'm trying hard to get a sermon ready here to be a blessing to you. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed, and I believe you're going to be. I really do. Praise the Lord. Jesus is coming, and he's coming any
reflection
moment.
He's coming your any moment. Light. Oh, day star, shine down on me, and let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow anywhere you open up the door. Then let your word speak through me. Show me things I've never seen before. Lord, I want to be your witness, and you can take what's wrong and make it right. Oh, day star, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Oh, Lord, lead.
follow. Anywhere you open up the door, then let your word speak through me. Show me things I've never seen. And you can take what's wrong and make it right. Day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Oh, Lord, I see a world that's dying. Wounded by the master of deceit. I see them groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past defeat. Oh, but then I see you standing near me, Lord, shining with compassion in your eyes. I pray day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Oh, lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door. I've never seen before. Lord, I want to be your witness. You can take what's wrong and make it right. Oh, day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me.